welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Morning, good morning, good morning. Everybody doing well? Not too bad. I feel like that's going to haunt me forever. It's good to be here this week. I've been in America this week and the week before. 10 days. Well done, Elizabeth. And I got back yesterday morning, so I'm a little bit tired. But I've had an incredible week. For those of you who don't know, I work for an organization called Orphans Promise. And we work with orphaned, vulnerable, and at-risk children, women, and communities throughout the world. And this is the first time that us as a whole staff team, so there was 40 people from all of our projects that gathered in one place. It's the first time I've met a lot of these people face-to-face. It was amazing to see that they had legs. I've seen them from kind of there up on a Zoom call, but they were actual real people. And like, we work in over 65 countries. We have nearly 300 projects going from education projects, feeding and nutrition, discipleship. This is all about Jesus and getting Jesus into people's lives. So I'm super encouraged because I've just sat all week hearing about what God is doing around the world. If you feel like God is not moving, come and chat and I'll tell you exactly what he is doing in people's lives and in communities across the world. But it's so good to be home. It's really, I did watch on the stream last week. I got up at 5:30 so I could watch the stream. I know. I didn't stay for the whole thing, but it was breakfast. Anyway, it is good to be here. I'm going to talk to you really, really briefly today. I haven't got loads to say, but hopefully it's going to hit home. And it's really amazing to see how God starts to weave things together. And there's a part of what I'm going to talk about that's about a deep work. So isn't that great that God's already gone before us and he started to prepare the soil of our hearts to receive what he's got? Now, this morning, I hate DIY. I absolutely hate it. It is not my happy place. Lizzie loves it. I'm grateful for my dad who do it. I let them go and do it, and I will go and bake or cook or do something else. So it's a bit of a role reversal in our house. Reuben's happy with the baking. But I don't like doing it. However, there are moments in my life where what is known as the rage comes. Does anybody else have the rage sometimes? And you're like, right, I'm going to do it. And that's it. And I single-mindedly go about doing this job till it's done, till it's completed, because I'm just mad. Anybody else get the rage sometimes? When there's a job that you don't want to do and you're just like, right, I know I've got to do it, so come on. Yeah? Somebody there? A friend of ours, Bertus, who's an amazing man, he once was tasked with putting up some pictures in his home by his new wife, Liesl. It was early on in their marriage and they were still working things out. And she went to work. He had these photos and pictures to put up in the house. She came home from work and the photos and pictures were not put up in the house. And she said, Bertus, why haven't you done it? He said, I haven't done it because I didn't want to. I mean, it's fair enough, right? You know where you stand. But I love that. I love that. Anyway, that's nothing to do with what I'm talking about. That's a great story. So what I'm going to talk to you, what I'm going to talk to you about this morning is, if you want a title, it's called Painting Your Backside. First of all, this is a lesson in correct spacing when you're putting fonts. You can see there is a space just between back and side. Painting your backside. But as it's a family service, we'll just go for one word, right? Painting your backside. That's what we're going to go with today. And you think, that's an odd title. As you can see, there's a DIY theme that we've got going on here. So in our home last year, we had our patio area redone and we had some fencing put around to stop our children falling to their deaths. And it was a bit late in the season last year to treat the wood and paint the wood. But I knew that this year we had to do it. I couldn't avoid it and I got the rage. Lizzie was at work. It was the bank holiday that's just gone. Lizzie was at work and she said, all right, on Monday, we'll do it. And I thought, no, I've got it. And so on the Saturday while she was at work, I got the rage and I did it, and I painted this fence. Now, we're on a bit of a hill, so the fence that you see is great. However, there's loads of wood on the other side, and it felt like there was more wood on the other side that I'm never, ever going to see than the ones that I would see. So as I'm there on my ladder, painting the wood, I'm thinking, oh, this is an absolute waste of time. It's got no aesthetic value to me at all. The side that I've done is beautiful. It's great. Love it. Absolutely. I see the value in doing that. But I'm on the other side in the neighbor's garden, painting the bit that I'm never going to see. And God's just like, yeah, I know. Let me tell you something. He said, Adam, you got to paint your backside too. I was like, okay. So I start to listen. And he said, often what we do is that we make sure that what we present to the world looks great. But if I'd only painted the one side of that fence, the one side is treated for weather, for all of the hard things that are going to come, and it's going to look great. But the other side is just going to rot, and it's going to go horrible, and it's going to crumble, and you're going to have to replace the wood. So for a little bit of extra time, paint the backside. Really, that is the heart of what I want to talk to you about. Paint your backside. You know, this is the scripture that I want to hang everything off you today, and it is in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. Now, he's about to go and choose and anoint a new king. He said, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, I told you about my friend Bertus. And he loves this guy called Peter Scazzaro. If you've ever read any of his stuff, I suggest that you go and read a little bit of it. But I'm going to paraphrase Peter Scazzaro via Bertus. And he said, look, if God's going to do a work. Now, I've painted the picture of the kind of person that Bertus is, right? I haven't done it because I didn't want to, right? Let's just bear that in mind. He says, if I'm going to allow God to do a work, it's got to be a deep work. It's got to be a deep work. And that's my prayer for this morning, and kind of my heart for what I'm sharing is allow God to do that deep work. Spend time investing in your backside a little bit more. Spend time allowing God to go deep in your heart. Do you know this on the side here? They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. I don't think that happens out there before it happens in here, and in here. So allow God to rebuild, restore, renew your heart, your mind, us as a people, and then we'll go and affect the people that we have been placed in, right? But that means that you've got to look after the bits that people don't see. There's a phrase and there's a song by Rent Collective that says, what is true in the light is still true in the dark. And that is an incredible promise, and it's right. That's also true of us too, right? What happens in our secret places, we can hide it for a while, but it will come out. That's just the nature of it. So invest in those secret places. Essentially, that is it. That's what I'm talking about today. That's pretty much my entire message, is paint your backside. Spend some time investing in it. But you know what? We're going to need grace for one another. So just as maybe the phrase, not too bad, might come to haunt me for the next little while, maybe paint your backside is one that's going to haunt me too. And honestly, let's challenge one another on it. Let's ask, how's your painting going? How's it working? Let's say, hey, mate, I just need some time. I've got to go paint my backside a little bit. Have grace for me. I'm just painting my backside. Maybe you can use it in your home. Have some grace for one another. Did anybody want a gross story? I'm going to tell you a gross story, right? Okay, now we've got some attention. Thank you, Daddy. So back in 2001, it's a long time ago. Back in 2001, I just finished my A-levels. And between my A-levels and then going on to university, I went on a mission trip with an organization called Crusaders, which is now Urban Saints. And it was a mission trip called Crusoe, which is Crusaders Overseas Expeditions, is pretty much what it sounded like. I know. It's as if they thought about it. And anyway, it was sending groups of young people into the mission field to go and help with kids' work and stuff. And I went to the Philippines. That was my first ever flight. You know, go hard or go home, right? So I went to the Philippines and I was working there with hostels for street kids and kids who'd been working on and living on garbage piles. Trying to think of the word there. Garbage sites. And people living on the streets. And, you know, that's an eye-opener. That's an eye-opener. It makes you feel very grateful for what you have. Has anybody else been on a mission trip and it changes your perspective? If you haven't been on a mission trip, anyone who has not yet been on a mission trip and would love to go somewhere? Cool, I'm sure we can sort that out. I've got loads of connections. We have loads of connections as a church. Let's get that going. I think we need to be outward looking and going into it. Anyway, I'm moving on. So anyway, I was in the Philippines and I went on this trip and I was there for about 4 or 5 weeks. And it was a great trip. Now, I didn't know, but something happened to me on that trip. Something ate a little home into my foot while I was away. See here, this is the gross story. So something, maybe a little bug or something, anyway, made its little home in the bottom of my foot. And I didn't know about this for a long time. I went off to university, great, having a great time. And about 2 or 3 months later, I thought, oh, I must have stood on something really bad. My foot is really hurting. You know when you like really whacked your foot and you don't know how, and it's like, it looked bruised and it was like starting to go a bit. I'm like, what have I done? I'm like, I can't even walk on this. Anyway, I ended up coming home and I went to the Gwent and I was like, I had x-rays. I thought, have I just broken my foot? And they said, oh, Mr. Howard, you've got a big hole in your foot. You've got a big abscess in your foot. And so I had a massive hole in the heel of my foot. Now, on the outside, the skin was still there, looked great for a long time. But under the surface, things were not so good. And whatever it was had eaten its way through a bit of my foot. And it created a pocket. And this pocket, everybody ready? This pocket had filled with blood and pus. Horrible, isn't it? And so what they had to do, they had to cut a little hole in my foot. We see the medical people over here. Yes. Everybody's here going. So they had to cut a little hole in my foot. And then they started just to squeeze the stuff out, right? And you could feel it like dripping from the bottom of your, you know. It wasn't nice. And then they went, oh. They said, Mr. Howard, we're going to have to put some anesthetic in here because this has gone a lot deeper than we thought. So after a couple of shots of anesthetic in my foot, what they had to do then is go in, open it a bit wider, and scrape all of the stuff out because it was quite deep. Anybody else want to go on mission, see the world? Wear flip-flops is the answer to that question. So this has all happened. Now, why do I grocer out with this? It's because what they did next, right? No, this is the good bit. This is where they start to, like, fix the issue. Obviously, I have to have some antibiotics and some things like that. But what they did to their foot is they didn't just, you know, sew it up and go on your way, put a plaster on it and go. Because what would happen if they just sewed it up, if they sewed up the surface? What would happen? I'm going to jump down to my random person. If they just sewed up the surface and didn't sort out what was underneath, Jules, what would happen?
That would probably just recur and you'd get the same problem happening again.
Yeah, it would just fill back up with pus and blood. Excellent. That's the paraphrase. So what they had to do is they had to pack it. They had to pack it out with bits of, was it would be gauze, iodine gauze. Yeah. Medical points for me. So they had to pack it out from the inside. And then as it healed from the inside out, they would put less stuff in. But it had to heal from the inside out. It couldn't just be sewn up on the outside, otherwise it would just fill back up and get bad again. So why do I say all of that? Hopefully you're following me. Sometimes inside of us is pretty gross. But what we do is we cut it sometimes, squeeze out the gross bit, and then just sew it back up quick and sort it out. And from the outside, it looks great again. Maybe we put a bit of makeup on it. Maybe we sort ourselves out a bit. Maybe we'll wear some nice clothes and cover that off. But if you don't deal with it properly, if you don't do the deep work, if you don't pack it out from the inside out, it'll just fill up again, and you have to constantly deal with the same issues over and over and over again. The same would apply for how we operate spiritually, right? And how we walk this thing out together. We've got to allow God to do the deep work in us. Otherwise, we're going to consistently, constantly deal with the symptoms of our sick human heart. Correct? So, paint your backside. Allow God to pack that wound from the inside out. And let's have grace for one another as we work that out together. Amen? Should we do that? Cool. Copes.